Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi, everyone. This is Rabbi Garfinkel of Project 613 in Chicago without a live studio audience and without any intro music. Yes, it is the 3 weeks, which we, God willing, will be discussing tonight. And so, our amazing people at Sheer Enjoyment, Mitchell Green, Jake Wyman, very, very special people who spread Project 613's Monday Motivation far and wide, reminded me that during the 3 weeks, we shouldn't be listening to music for pleasure. And boy, oh boy, that intro music and outro music, it brings me a lot of pleasure. Now, we are going to dive into that, but first I want to say that nothing like picking a controversial topic to get some great feedback. Wow. Got some great feedback this past week from last week's podcast, Hot Mess at Coldplay. I thought that was a great title, if I do say so myself. A few questions came up I'd like to answer for everyone. One of them was, Rabbi, if Lashon Hara, if speaking evil, is so bad, then how could you talk about the subject in the first place? And isn't by you talking about it, isn't it making it worse? Now, there is a very extensive book about the laws of Lashon Hara, Shmirat HaLashon, keeping one's tongue, keeping one's speech kosher. And the halakha is that if something is already out there in the newspapers, in the media world, okay, it's already a known thing out there, then it's certainly not praiseworthy to, you know, double down on it, but it is totally permissible to talk about it. And especially if it is instructional of a moral principle. And even though that the laws of Lashon Hara are specifically focused between Jews, it is nevertheless, it's not nice to speak about non-Jews, but Hashem knew in his infinite wisdom that keeping these laws are so difficult and so hard not to say anything negative or damaging about anyone else, even if it's true, okay? That's a very high level. So God says, okay, start with your own home team, the Jewish people, and God willing, that'll extend out beyond that. And so I did not mention the names of the people who were involved in it. I did mention the name of the woman who started the whole thing, or at least started the spread. The two people who blew it made poor ethical and moral choices. They started it, but the one who spread it, I did say her name, because that at this point is something instructive not to follow what she did. Okay, so some great questions. Also, I want to follow up with another interesting point. You just see it so clear that once one starts with Torah, then everything becomes a definition. And then you have guidelines about how to live your life. And someone who doesn't have Torah, doesn't have the divine wisdom and the collective wisdom of the Jewish people living these laws for thousands of years, then you're riding blind, right? This Grace Springer, she said, you know, play STUPID games, win STUPID prizes. That's her moral code. That's not a moral code, right? And so therefore, she ended up ruining many people's lives for that. Okay. And then that was, you know, the definition of what Lashon Hara is. But now let's get to, we had also talked about what marriage is. Marriage is kiddushin. It is holiness. It's total exclusivity. And we went through different things that once we understand what marriage is total exclusivity, then there's certain behaviors that we just won't do and certain things we won't watch and certain activities we won't be part of. And it's very enlightening. There's one area I didn't mention, and evidently I ruffled a lot of feathers last week, which is great because real education starts when we ruffle feathers a little bit. Some more feathers I'd like to ruffle is another issue about exclusivity is how we dress. You know, the expression dress to kill. Well, I always say, you know, it's dressed to kill marriages or dressed to kill relationships, right? Because especially women who are blessed, replete in Jewish sources, even from the Torah itself, talk about our matriarchs being beautifully attractive women. Jewish women are beautiful. And therefore, they have a real weapon dressed to kill relationships. And if our relationships are only based on who looks good at the time, it leads to a flavor of the month type of activity, moving from one to the next to the next. And whereas if we had the idea of exclusivity, then women would realize that it's in their own best interest to dress modestly. Because if they will dress modestly, then their friends will and everyone will. And therefore, everyone honors each other's exclusivity. And one is not dressed to attract a man who is in a different relationship. And so therefore, this is where, again, the Torah makes so much sense. It's not that we believe in modest dress because women are not beautiful, just the opposite. It's because they're beautiful. And that beauty needs to be shared exclusively with their man. Now, what I'd like to say is something else on this topic, and then we will get to the 3 weeks, is that this does not mean that Jewish women are dressed in potato sacks and plaid picnic tablecloths from the 1970s. That's not how this rolls. You know, my wife, Suri, dresses beautifully, and she always takes as her guide what her Rebbetzin, way back in Seminary, Rebbetzin Sherry Kurland, a brilliant, amazing woman who is a matriarch of her own family and thousands, literally thousands of students over decades. And she said something absolutely amazing, that Jewish women should dress attractive, but not attracting. And there is a fine line between those two. The difference between attractive, that you are showing your beauty, but not attracting. Now, I don't know if I could define it in words, but as they say, I know it when I see it. And I think we all know it when we see it, that if someone is out there dressed to kill, dressed to turn heads, that's one way. And the other way is when you see someone dressed in a dignified, royal manner, stylish, and yet just expressing her beauty, there's a difference. And that really is the goal. All right, so that was the final post note that I wanted to add to last week's podcast. I don't think that there's enough discussion about the Torah approach to relationships, to intimacy, sexuality, and all of those topics, because if there was, I think, let's put it this way, the world needs it. The world is off the rails in those areas in the craziest, craziest ways. All right, so now we are moving on to the 3 weeks. Now, I often joke, you know, if you go up to an average American Jew and you say, hey, what are the 3 weeks? And they'll say, my vacation days for the year? It's like, what are the 3 weeks? Now, growing up, I had absolutely no clue that this entire time period existed. The Reform Movement ideologically had, at least initially in their founding, was very much against any publicizing or celebrating living the laws of the 3 weeks, mainly because the original Reform Movement did not want the temple in Jerusalem to be built. By the way, we've mentioned on a few occasions that that's why Reform named their houses of worship temples, because I don't need the temple in Jerusalem anymore. I have the temple in Berlin. I have the temple in New York and Los Angeles and San Francisco. Who needs a temple in Jerusalem? They took out all reference of Jerusalem from the prayer books. The original Reform did. And any mention of Messiah or any concept of the ingathering, the exiles, to go back, because we weren't going back. And so therefore, it makes sense that the 3 weeks which mourn the destruction of the temples and our desire to go back, it makes sense that they would not be observed. In addition, they're kind of hard. It's kind of hard. And that really brings us to the title of this week's Money Motivation, fair weather fans. Why are we doing this to ourselves? Let's just back up just a little bitty bit. There are 3 weeks between the 17th of Tammuz and the 9th of Av, a three-week period, bookended by fast days. The 17th of Tammuz is a dawn, two stars, three stars out. And 3 weeks later, we have Tisha B'Av, which is one of the two fast days on the Jewish calendar that go for 25 hours, i.e. an entire day. Tisha B'Av is rabbinic in nature. It's not in the Torah, but it's still nevertheless an entire day. And the other one is Yom Kippur. Now, I'd like to point out very importantly, it's really important that we nail this point, because most people do not distinguish between the fasting on Tisha B'Av and the fasting on Yom Kippur. Dahainu, as we say in Hebrew, Zot Omeret, it means to say the following, that on Tisha B'Av, on the 9th of Av, we're fasting because there are so many tragedies that happen that day. And we're trying to do an honest evaluation of self. And fasting is a way that we can be introspective to figure out and to mourn the tragedy and to figure out where we need to go from here. And so therefore, the theme of Tisha B'Av fasting is, who can eat on a day like this? Who can eat on a day like this? Temples destroyed, Jews expelled from Spain, World War I starting on that day, and countless calamities. But Yom Kippur is totally different. Yom Kippur is a day of cleansing. Yom Kippur is a day also of teshuva, that they share, also a day of repentance and introspection, coming close to God. But the theme is not who can eat on a day like this. On Yom Kippur, we wear all white because we're like angels. We are elevated out of this world to an entire spiritual cleansing. And so it's not who can eat on a day like this. It's who needs to eat. Yom Kippur, we are in such a high level, we're not even thinking about food. We're not sitting in mourning on Yom Kippur. It's one of the two happiest days in the Jewish calendar. And so therefore, it's very important to note the distinction between the fasting of Tisha B'Av, which is approaching, and that of Yom Kippur. Now, these 3 weeks, we don't listen to live music, which is therefore the intro and the outro is not playing on our Money Motivation podcast. There are no weddings. There are engagements. One can get engaged in this time. So if anyone's on the guys, if you're out there and you have a ring, go for it. Okay. It's still fine. There are just a limitation of happiness, of happy times, celebrations. People will push certain celebrations off till afterwards if possible. Now, during the 9 days, the final shvung until the 9th of Av, the custom is not to eat meat except on Shabbos, or if there's a celebration of a siyum, of finishing a tractate in the Talmud or other major portion of learning. And so lots of fish and lots of milk this week. The milchik restaurants in Chicago and around the world are rocking this week. This is their big week. And so it is a time. If it's difficult, it is a difficult time. It's not a time where we don't take haircuts, a time we don't pamper ourselves. It's a time of introspection. And that could be a major reason why the American Jewish community kind of forgot about this time period, because it's not easy. It's not easy. So why do we do it? Why do we do it? So there's a few things that we do to remember the temple in Jerusalem. I give an analogy. I have the honor, the life honor, of officiating at some of our young professionals, at the weddings of several of our young professionals throughout the years. And I always talk about the final ritual that everyone knows about a Jewish wedding is the groom steps on the cup, the glass, and breaks the glass. And everyone says, Mazel Tov. But people don't realize what is happening. By the way, best joke ever, right before the guy puts his, crushes the glass, I say, and ladies and gentlemen, this is the first and last time that he will put his foot down in this marriage. Da-doom, boom. Okay, great rabbinic joke. You can use it. You can quote me or not, either way. Anyway, so why are we breaking a glass at a happy time? Such a downer moment. And the point is that we can imagine our best friend. Imagine your best friend you're very close with, and they live right next door to you, and a gang of marauding thugs, terrorists, raiding force comes in, destroys their house, pillages everything, and then sends these people, your friends, into exile. Now, you're sitting there, nothing you can do to help. And all of a sudden, then they build their own house on the ruins of your friend's house. Now, your life has changed forever. You're going to go ahead and just go ahead and party? Well, on the one hand, you got to move on with life, but you have to do something to remind yourself, to recall what is going on over here. And so therefore, at your happiest times, you'll remind yourself that your friend is still incomplete, that your friend is in exile, that the raiding, marauding terrorists have built their home on top of your friend's home. And that's exactly what happened when the Romans came in and destroyed our temple, and successive peoples have come and conquered Jerusalem, and the Muslims put their golden dome and their Al-Aqsa Mosque on top of right where our temple is. The golden dome is right where our temple stood. And what do we do? And so there's a few rituals that we do are called Zecher l'Churban, that remind ourselves of the destruction of the temple, that our best friend has been kicked out. Hashem's divine presence is still in the Western Wall, but it's not in its full glory in the temple, like God willing it will be. And so therefore, at our greatest joy, which is a wedding and owning a home, those are the two great joys that we have, we insert a reminder, a Google Calendar event that we need to remind ourselves and to remember our best friend who is in exile. And so therefore, the groom crushes the glass under the chuppah. And if you're all invited to my home, you'll see as you walk into the right, there's a 2-foot by 2-foot square of unfinished paint. In fact, when we repainted, I forgot to tell the painter to leave the previous square there, and he painted it over. So I had to actually pay him more to undo it. And it looks really funky, and no one notices. It's the craziest thing. Everybody just walk right by it. You'd think everyone's so worried about one little smudge on your thing. And I have a 2-foot by 2-foot unfinished square right as you entered the right in my house. Why? Because we're not fair weather fans. Every day, day in, day out, we pass there and we try to remind ourselves that I'm not only going to rejoice when the final Messiah is going to redeem the Jewish people and bring us all back to Jerusalem, when, quote unquote, God is the winning team. I'm going to be faithful to Hashem, to God, even when he is in exile, when his house is destroyed. And that shows our allegiance. That is the power of these 3 weeks. It's easy to jump on the bandwagon of revealed miracles, but it's the real test of loyalty to stay faith when God is hidden and when so many tragedies are occurring, to be able to see the hand of Hashem and to be able to stay faithful in the times of darkness, to be a diehard fan of the CEO of the universe. That is our job. And this 3-week time period is the time in the calendar where we tell Hashem we're not fair weather fans. We're not just champagne sipping, luxury box booth sitting football fans. When the team has a good record, we are with you, Hashem. We are dedicated to you. We are your people with a full redemption, but especially before the full redemption. And in fact, and on this we will close, the rabbis say that those people who mourn over Jerusalem will be the ones who will be rejoice in its rebuilding. So God willing, this week, let's try to do something to plug into this. Let's try to do something. If you're in the car, instead of listening to music, maybe listen to a Torah class, or go to a Torah class, or something that is going to potentially limit your pleasure just a little bit, to remind ourselves of the Almighty who is in exile. God willing, Hashem Almighty will get out of exile, and the hostages in those awful tunnels of Gaza will also be redeemed and brought forth from those tunnels to freedom as well. God bless. Have an amazing, meaningful week. next Sunday night when I usually record. It will be just after the fast ends. I'm not sure if we'll be back here next week, but God willing, we will see you back here soon for another exciting edition of Monday Motivation.